Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I told you last Sunday that is going to continue on in our consideration of Jesus as the light of the world, and that particular message title that I'd mentioned to you. I got ahead of myself, and that wasn't the next message in the order that I have planned. But then this morning, the Lord just led me to preach a different message. So we're going to take a break from that consideration about the Lord Jesus being the light. Indeed, he is the light of the world. We want to take a look at this here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When we're talking about faith in the scripture, and the Lord's really urged me and pressed me regarding this and in recent times, and you know it, whenever we see that word faith in the scripture, it's always based and focused upon our Lord Jesus Christ. We need, and I think it's very good to get very specific about that. Faith is focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I know that because of the full counsel of God, the full revelation of the Lord given unto us in his word. We know that Jesus was the name of the Messiah, the Christ, the Redeemer. That was his earthly name that was given unto him of the Lord. And he came and he did fulfill the gospel that sinners like you and me can be saved. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we look into the scriptures now, anytime we would see this word faith, I think we can automatically go and insert with that and to clarify the understanding. Now, faith in Jesus is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Because there's no other place to place, there's no other place to place our faith but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Brother Jim, what about God? Well, you're saying the same thing, faith in God. But see, faith in Jesus gets down to the point. It doesn't take anything away from it to say that it's faith in God. It's faith in God and everything that he has done. And the greatest thing that he has done for the salvation of sinners is to send his son. And so when we go and we say it's faith in Jesus, we get to right to that point that Jesus came and fulfilled the gospel and is the Savior, is the manifestation of God unto mankind. He has come, and he was really here, and he did the things that he did so that sinners like you and me can be saved. Now, faith in Jesus is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith in Jesus is the substance. That's the message this morning. Faith in Jesus is the substance. When we talk about substance and that, and you say maybe when you're going to eat a meal or whatever, and you got some potato chips or some good junk food. That's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? Maybe good tasting. You say, well, no, I need to really eat something with some substance. I need to eat something that'll help me, because you eat junk food, it might give you a little boost in time, but for the long haul, it's no good for you. It's the meat, isn't it? It's the volume. It's the weight of whatever is being talked about. Maybe you might be building some kind of structure, and you say, well, that's and you build it out of balsa wood, and you're trying to hold up the baptistry, and say, well, that's not too substantial. No, it's not. You need a real structure under that, especially when we put 1,500, 2,000 pounds of water in it. Substance. Faith in Jesus is the substance. In verse number 2, it tells us, for by that faith in Jesus, the elders obtained a good report. Now, understand, Brother Jim, a lot of these that are mentioned here, they didn't live, or they lived before the time that Jesus came. That's true. That is true. But by the faith that they had in God, to the extent that the gospel, the deliverance, the rescue by God was revealed unto them, they worshiped, served, and lived before God. They believed God. Adam believed God. And what he came and he did and what he promised, as was mentioned earlier today. They believed God. Abraham believed God. He believed his word. And that's the focus of everything that, the greatness, what the Lord has elevated and honored and lifted up above even his name is his word. He has given it, and in it, in his word is life, and you and I are expected to hear it, and receive it, and believe it, and hearken unto it. For by faith in the Lord, the elders obtained a good report. They believed and had faith in God that what God had showed them and his deliverance and his rescue of them, to the extent that it was in their day, in that they worshiped and served and lived before him. They were faithful to their Lord and found pleasing unto him. Why? They looked to him. They rested in him. They trusted in him. It tells us in 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, John writes. I'm writing to you that are saved, that you might know that you've got eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Why do I already believe? Why do I need to believe more? That's the way that we live. That's the way that we walk with our Lord. That's the way we are found in obedience and service to him till the end of the time that the Lord has given us on this earth. We've got to keep on believing in our Lord. Yes, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ does come at salvation. That is how sinners are saved, by repentance of their sins before God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the one that saves got to keep on believing. Has to keep on believing. Brother Jim, are you talking about losing your salvation? No, if we're talking about losing your salvation, we're not talking about God Almighty. But we are called, we are responsible to walk before him in holiness and blameless, a representative of him, a good witness of him. And how can we do so? Well, I tell you what, anybody that's honest knows that you and I can do very little in this old flesh. When we talk about this, there's a cold that we get. A touch of the flu gets us down so that we can do nothing. We're so susceptible to it, and it puts us down so easily. It's something you can't even see, and we can't master it and dominate it. We need our Lord, and we need to walk by faith in him. That's what it says in verse number 2, that the elders obtained a good report. See, they were saved and they walked. And this whole chapter tells about that. This whole chapter tells about so many examples in that. In verse number 6 of this chapter, it says this, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Our Lord God cannot be pleased without having faith in him. Faith in every wit and every way. You know what that means? That we need to be faith exclusively in him and no faith in anything else, not even self. But you know, it's so easy for us and natural for us to have faith in ourselves, isn't it? We want to trust ourselves. We always think in our wisdom and our self-wisdom and our own conceit that we know the answer. We know the ins and outs. We know the detail of it. But it says here, but without faith in Jesus, that's our context, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You got to know that he's there. But you know, knowing that he's there and believing that he truly is there is not enough. That's not salvation. But it goes on in that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So many scriptures in the Bible and the Word of God that says, seek the Lord while he may be found. That's a command to you and me. Where do I find him, Brother Jim? I tell you what, he's right there. And you can know the detail about how he is right there and how you are right there by what this good book says. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. The Lord will not be pleased, or he will not receive or accept any that do not have their total and complete faith in him and everything that he talks about. And then first thing that he talks about to us is our condition and our need of him in salvation. The brothers brought recently about the self-righteous of the leadership of the Jews in the scriptures, the questions that the Lord Jesus Christ asked the religious leaders of the day. And you know what? They couldn't even get started being received by the Lord and being acceptable by the Lord, accepted by the Lord, because why? They didn't believe him. They didn't believe him. They didn't believe in him. They wanted nothing to do with him. And he's life. And he's the light and the life. And said, nah, there can't any prophet come out of Nazareth, much less a savior. I think that's what's implied. He can't be a prophet because he comes from up there in Galilee. And you know, no prophet comes out of Galilee. So for you all to say that he's a savior, the Messiah and the Redeemer, as the Jews, their leaders would talk to the people, there's no way he can be, because prophets don't come out of Galilee, much less the Savior. See, they stumbled over the verses that talked about the Savior being born in Bethlehem. They thought, oh, the house of David, down there in Bethlehem, out of Judah. That's, after all, where the Lord belongs. And so they stumbled at those scriptures that told about that. And I'm amazed how it was in the day of our Lord that they never asked him where he was born. But they were blind, weren't they? Then we come to this in Romans chapter 10. And, you know, we need to be careful. Romans chapter 10 has been purported and brought forth by many as an incantation into salvation. There's a gospel that's preached that if I can just get somebody to go through these verses and get them to say them, that they'll be saved. And no, it's not an incantation. There is no incantation into salvation. Salvation is not a superstitious fair. It's not a working of things that men do. It's not a thing of where we manipulate God in any way. God has said what he said and means what he says. And you know what? We can believe him and trust him in every word that he has said. And we need to receive him that way. Are you seeking the Lord? You know, as the child of God, you need to be seeking the Lord, don't you? You've got the rest of your time to live. Life should not be a static fair. You need to be seeking the Lord. Really, Brother Jim? I need to... Yeah. Because you know why? You need help. You and I need help and ability to live the rest of the life that we've got to live. We need his help, his guidance. We need understanding of his leadership. I think the Lord's leading all of his people, leading all of his churches. I've just got to get tuned in on that frequency, if you will. He's promised. The Lord Jesus said, did he not? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We might be forsaken by our family, our friends in this world, brothers and sisters in Christ, but you know what? We'll never be forsaken by our Lord Jesus. And so we need leadership. Don't you remember the reference that the Lord refers us to us as? Sheep need leadership. And so our Lord is leading us indeed. And so just because folks have taken a passage and abused it, doesn't mean that we need to shy away from it anyway, but hear what the scripture says. Hear what our Lord says. And again, there is no incantation to salvation, but there is the truth of what God gives us in his word. Quickly, in Romans chapter 10, let's just read through here and touch on a couple of things. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And that's a fine desire. You notice the Apostle Paul, a Jew, is writing to the Romans, namely Gentiles, the church at Rome, about his brethren. Isn't that something? Well, see, when it comes to the need to salvation, there is no respecter of God, no respecter of persons before God. All souls are important. All souls need salvation. We should never look on the ethnicity or the lineage of any person, because all need them, and so need salvation, need the Lord. He said he desires that they be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal to God. Brother Doug mentioned about that this morning, but not according to knowledge. You know, that's the way it is with everybody that's not saved. You got a zeal, men, women, boys, and girls, they got a zeal of how they think they're going to accomplish a thing, how they're going to accomplish the salvation of their soul, what they reckon and reason in their hearts, rather than going to the Lord and what he says. You know, that we need to become devoid of what we think and what we hold in our hearts as important and priority. And we need to go to the Lord and what he says. He said they've got a zeal, but they don't know anything. You know what the grace of God does for sinners? He brings the knowledge of the truth and the word of God to them. Praise be to God that you and I live in a generation and a time and in a country that the word of God has been free. Especially you and I that have been around the Lord's churches. What a blessing that is. What a blessing. What an awesome thing the Lord has done for us in that he's put that word of God around us. There's been many that haven't had that, nor have they had it to the extent. Can you envision and imagine being in a time and being in a way that you would be come across pages of the Gospel of John and just be thrilled to have four chapters of that? There's people that live that way. And you and I, we've had Bibles galore over our lifetime, haven't we? We have. He said they've got a zeal. They've got a thing that they're looking to make themselves acceptable before God, but they just don't know. They being ignorant of God's righteousness, and that's the key. It's God's righteousness, his standard of righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ, and going about to establish their own righteousness. And so, well, I know better. No, you don't know better. You and I don't know better. It's the Lord that knows what's going on. Going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? Well, we're sinners. Jesus Christ is the standard. You and I and of ourselves cannot meet the standard. We need help from the outside. All right? For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And again, here's that word believe. It's not the word faith, but it is along that line. Believeth in Jesus. Believeth in Jesus. See, Christ will take care of all the requirement of the law that you and I have miserably failed at by faith in him keeping it for us. See, first you got to realize that you can't keep it, that you're a sinner. Next, you need to trust in Christ to have kept it for you. See, God's not pleased in any other thing other than faith in him. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. It doesn't say to the Jews that believe, or it doesn't say to the Gentiles that believe, does it? It says everyone. Remember in your hearts and minds in John chapter 3, and Lord willing in messages to come, we'll touch on that. But remember what the condemnation is? Remember that. Remember what the condemnation is. John writes that the condemnation is that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Men, because of their sins, say no to the Lord Jesus Christ because they like the old sorry place that they're wallowing around in right now. I was that way. You who are saved are that way. You who are not saved are that way. I'm not looking to be mean, but it's just that way. A young person asked me some years ago, I want to be saved, and I'm going to the Lord, which we're going to talk about here, and this passage is going to mention to us, and said, man, I'm going to him. I want to be saved so bad, but I'm not saved. He's not saved me. I said, well, you've not repented of your sins and trusted in Christ. You're hanging on to what you're doing and what you do. You want this sense and feeling of being saved so you can be assured that trusting Christ will get the job done. But the Lord says that's not how he's pleased. He's pleased by faith in him. See, it's like this. When the Lord brought me to salvation, when he brought me to conviction of my sin and my need of Christ, I called on him for a long time. It was my case. And you know what? When I came down to that time and that moment, you know, I didn't care what the Lord did with me. I'm trusting in him. because he's my only hope. He could take me and send me to hell. He can take me and bring me on to be with him. It's all in his hands. He's got to take care of it. I can do nothing. But I was resting and trusting in him and have been since. See, what it is with the old man, and he wants to feel caught. He wants to be assured of what faith in Christ will produce before he believes, just in case it's a lie. See, there's the knowledge of man, and the self-conceit of man is that we think we know better to even test God. But our Lord says, believe in him. Rest in him, trust in him, and him alone. He's the end of the law. For Moses describeth, verse 5, the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them, and you'll be miserable doing it because you won't keep it. Plus all the past that you didn't, when you didn't even care about the law, that you can unravel, or as the brother used to say, unscramble, right? Can't do that. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? And that's really good, isn't it? Because these things go on, these wrestlings go on in the hearts of men and women, don't they? Boys and girls. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend to heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall ascend into the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead. See, in paraphrase, don't think about what you can do. You and I can do nothing. You can do nothing. You can't build. You can't give. You can't promise to the Lord anything. You can make a promise. You won't keep it. You can offer to pay a price to God. And I don't mean this in a cruel way, but he'll laugh at the bounty that you think you have. Universalism and Catholicism, they hold at extortion those that remain of family members that have died and go on, and they have this doctrine that they teach of purgatory, and if you'll just give, then we'll get enough people praying, enough nuns, enough priests, enough dedicated prayer partners to pray your soul of your loved one out of hell. They got a knee and a foot left in there. One price for the wealthy man and another price for the poor man. All of it belongs to God already. He outlives us all. It's sad, isn't it? So don't, what's the righteousness of faith in Christ and Jesus say? Don't say in your heart, what can I do? But what saith this righteousness which is by faith? Verse number 8. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith in Jesus that we preach. And that's what we preach. We keep on preaching it. To the world and much of the religious world, it seems crazy. But it is the power of God unto salvation, preaching Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and risen again for the sake of sinners. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. You don't like it. You don't want it. You think it ought to be something else other than that. You think it's too weak. You don't think it's powerful enough. You think that there's doubt associated with it. That is the word of faith in Jesus, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead for you, not historically. A lot of people believe that Jesus came and lived as the Son of God and gave himself on the cross of Calvary, was buried and rose again. They believe but they believe it historically because they've not seen themselves as the sinner that they are before God. Everybody else goes away. It's them and God and their sin and where they're there and the threat and condemnation of hell and judgment from God and separation from God eternally in hell in the lake of fire. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead for you because you need it, thou shalt be saved. I tell you what, listen to the order. It's God's order. Well, Brother Jim, no. What's the scripture say? This is the apostle of God to the Gentiles giving an order. Because you and I live in a place of order. You need Christ. And the Lord says, receive him. No ifs, ands, or buts, but believe him. Believe that what he did is powerful enough to wash your sins away and save you. He says, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. For you, for your personal need, thou shalt be saved. He says, give some clarity. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's not a thing of doing. Faith is not a work. Faith is faith. Faith in Jesus is faith in Jesus. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, righteousness in Christ. Yeah, I need Christ's righteousness because I haven't got any. And I have no hope of attaining any. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, listen, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, won't be confounded, won't be confused, won't be backward about it. A song that we sing, my hope is in the Lord. I'm resting totally in what he's done. I'm in his hands. Whatever he wants to do with me, he can do with me because my rest, my trust, my help is in him, in the God-man. It's not in Olmsted Baptist Church. It's not in the wonderful doctrine that we get from Christ about our operation and the things and the working of God. My faith is not in that particular. My faith is in the man, Jesus Christ, the God-man. He's the one that died for me so many thousand, 2,000 years ago. For with the heart man believeth, and verse number 11, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. You don't get any priority there. You've got to be a human being. That's what John told Nicodemus in John chapter 3. You got to be born of the water birth of your mother first. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Listen, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. If you break down and you need some help getting off the road, what will you do? If you want my help, you will call me. If you don't want my help, you will not call me. I cannot be faulted for not helping you if I don't know. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't know things. You know what? Do you know that you need the Lord? I tell you what, if by the blessing of the Lord and his word, you know you need the Lord, you better be talking to him about your situation. It's just like it was with Peter, and Peter was saved. But remember when Peter was called to the Lord to walk on the water? He went out there on the water, and boy, it was great. Then he got to looking around at everything but Jesus. And what did he start doing? He said he started sinking. Because see, that's what everything, looking at everything else does. It takes a man and sinks him. Lord, save me. He called upon the Lord, didn't he? He called upon the Lord. And the sinners that are brought by the word of God and the ministry of the Lord and the people that he's called, ministers and saints and his word, bring the revelation and understanding of the truth. Shows a sinner his need, shows a sinner his sin, shows a sinner his condemnation, shows a sinner Christ. Have you called upon him? I tell you what, you need to. Brother Jim, I have. Keep on. There's nothing more important. Keep on. Keep on. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe that? I mentioned that to a brother that I love dearly years ago. He said, nobody needs to call on the Lord. Lord just saves. It's right here. It's not different in your Bible, is it? See, call. If you know that I can't come and help you change your tire on your vehicle, will it do you any good to call me? You probably won't call me. But if you've got confidence that I can help you get that tire off there and get it fixed and get it back on there so you can get on down the road safely, you'll call me for help. Sinner, you need help from the Lord. You're lost and undone and on your way to hell, and the condemnation of God upon you is sure, and Jesus is able to help you. You best be calling on him. Because it says here, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the call upon him in faith, believing that he can help you, he can save you, he has done what's necessary to accomplish it, shall be saved. I think it's a period at the end of that sentence, isn't it? And then listen to the ministry of the Lord. How shall they call upon him who they've not believed? Ah, you got to believe that he can do it. Amen. And how shall they believe on him who they've not heard? Oh, you mean to believe? You got to hear? That's right. Olmsted Baptist Church has been at it for nearly 60 years, proclaiming the gospel and the word of Jesus Christ that sinners would hear it. We go to the jail. It's kind of been a little test that I've done. I ask those folks, what's the gospel? The Ten Commandments, God, the Bible. There's an aversion to the necessity of the souls and hearts and sin of men. The gospel of Jesus Christ is his death, burial, and resurrection. I'll ask the question three times in the session and tell them, and then ask them again and tell them, and it's only very few that latch on to what the gospel truly is. Why? We just got a natural aversion to it. But you know what? The word of God is preached and 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 preached. Our mission has not changed in the 60 years that this church has been in existence, has it? Preach the gospel to every creature and baptize the believers and teach those that believe and are enjoined to the church to observe all the things our Lord's given us. Why? So we might go do it again and 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 again. Because that's what we're called to do. It is a repetitive fare. How shall they hear without a preacher? Praise God, he calls preachers. And there needs to be more preachers. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Because he's the sender of preachers. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Because you know what? That's what the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ will do. You repent of your sins before the Lord. You call on him to save your soul. You ask for him to be merciful to you and gracious to you, even though you don't deserve it. You call out unto him in faith, knowing that he can do that for you, knowing that what he did on Calvary will work and will work for the cleansing of your soul and the salvation of your soul. You'll have peace with God. But until then, you won't have any peace at all. Because every other way that you and I seek peace other than the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed a way of death. It's not a peaceful way. It's a false peace. Listen to this. The gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, because it is a good thing, ultimately, what Christ has done. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. They don't believe it. Don't believe it'll work. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? And we say that too at times, don't we? Lord, we keep trying. We keep preaching. Who's believed it? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that's the reason that we stick to the word of God. Because by the word of God, someone can hear. And when they hear, they can have faith in Jesus. Again, that faith is focused upon our Lord. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. There are some that do hear, don't they? But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. But Esaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about you and me, the Gentiles. The Lord took the word and the message to his nation, and they rejected him. He still saved some of them, and will. And what then that brought that word, that, if you will, the Lord, by the plan of God, it took and swung that word right in here to the rest of the world. And that's the reason that you and I sit here saved and the children of God. There are those that hear and believe and trust in Jesus. Not themselves, but in Jesus for all things. But to Israel saith, he saith, verse 21, all day long, listen to this, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and a gainsaying, that means doubting people. And he'd done that with Gentiles too. Self-wisdom, self-conceit. Think we know more than God. Won't receive him in the word that he's given and what the Savior has done. The apostle preaches about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ being preached in its simplicity. You know why it needs to be simple? Because you and I are simple. It's just that way. Again, goats and sheep. Sheep and goats. That's the way we're described. That's the way all mankind is described. We need it simple. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus is the substance. There's no signs with faith. I want to mention this point here this morning. And this is what we're bent to. And I understand this. I experience this. In Matthew chapter 12, understand here that there's no signs with faith. Faith in Jesus is the substance. See, we want signs. We want confidence from another way. We want assurance from a way that'll satisfy us rather than hearing what the Lord says, that by faith in him, he is pleased. In Matthew chapter 12, we see in verse number 39, verse number 38, let's read. And certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. This is mentioned over in chapter 16, also this same chapter. The Lord makes a double point in this book, rather, in chapter 16. See, the Lord is pleased with faith in him. In our context, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is not pleased with sign seekers. Preached a message about that some time ago. You know, folks that want signs before salvation, they look at all, do they not look at all our Lord has done? Folks that want signs before salvation, well, I just need another assurance that it'll really work. I understand, I was there. Look at what all our Lord has done. Look at what he did for 1,600 years, bringing us the scripture. Look at what he did in bringing his son. Look at what he's done in establishing his church and the ministry of his churches and his people. You want a sign? See, that was the ridiculousness of these folks asking a sign from the Lord. He'd been healing and preaching and setting straight for all that time in his ministry. And they say, show us one more thing and we'll get it. Yeah. He's done it. It's right here in his word. Folks that want signs before salvation, will they not look at all that the Lord has done? Will they not look at the account of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yet unbelieving sinners yet want more signs. I tell you what, sign seekers don't please the Lord. But those that have faith in him, they please him. Because he's worshipped in that. See, by having faith in the Lord, you admit readily you haven't got it, but he's got it. You admit readily that there's no one else to go to but him. You admit readily that I need help in a big, big way. You need the Lord. Do you realize this? That there's folks that want signs after salvation? I've seen this in my ministry, and may the Lord help us in that. May the Lord help us that we not be along this line. There's folks that want signs after salvation. What do you mean, Brother Jim? There are those that look to confirm their salvation by being disobedient to God so his chastisement will be upon them. It's the mixed up thinking that children that have been abandoned by parents and are brought into other families, the way they test their new parents. We've known of this outright. We're in a foster child or adopted child. We'll find out what the rules are, and then they put those foster parents to the test to see if they really mean it. So they would say along the line, you know, we will discipline you if you disobey, and understand it'll be hard and it'll be difficult and it'll be painful, but we do so because we love you. Because they've been so damaged and being abandoned by their parents, their true parents, they will test the ropes. You know, there's folks that have got that even with the Lord. And maybe they're saved and maybe they're not saved. But you know what the Lord says to make your calling and election sure by? Faith and obedience to the Lord. Not putting the Lord to the test that way. Don't be looking for signs. The Lord says an adulterous and wicked generation seeketh after a sign. Folks that want signs after salvation, they look to confirm their salvation by being disobedient to God so his chastisement will be upon them. They disobey the Lord willingly, knowing that, because that's their goal and their motive, and then they bring some chastisement upon themselves from the Lord and said, "Phew, I'm saved." That's mixed up, isn't it? That's mixed up. That's a wrong track. That's a wrong way. It's inordinate. It's not how the Lord is pleased. You know what? Satan is a deceiver, and the scripture tells us that he can even be transformed into the minister of light. He can be a chastiser and abuser too. The Lord is only pleased by faith in Jesus, not signs. Desiring a sign and confirmation and the punishment by the Lord for their disobedience. The Lord's not honored in this. Do the faithful of Hebrews chapter 11 represent such? Now, Samson, he just got wicked and out of the way, and you know what? The Lord whipped that boy and brought him back. But he wasn't experimenting, was he? Use the Lord's as an example. Sign seekers are again pointed to Jonah. Isn't that what the Lord says here? An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it but the sign of Jonah, the prophet Jonas. What's that? He was in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights, right? And what's that signify? Jesus Christ being in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Why? Because he died. He was buried. It was only 3 days and three nights. It wasn't four. Amen. He rose from the dead. See, we're pointed right back to the gospel. Sign seekers are pointed right back to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is your faith in? Who is your faith in? Who is my faith in? May the Lord help us in this. In conclusion, in Acts chapter 26, the Lord Jesus here, Paul actually recounting what the Lord said to him on the road to Damascus when the Lord visited him and saved his soul. He's calling this man to use him to be a witness all the way down here to you and me in our day. I find that amazing. And we just want to jump in here in the account in Acts chapter 26, verse number 17. He says here to Saul, and Paul's recounting this, having happened years before, okay? But he says, this is what Jesus said to me, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. I'm going to deliver you out of their hand. They're looking to kill him there at Damascus. And I'm going to send you back to them. Why? To open their eyes. Because sinners like you and me need our eyes open by the word of God. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. That's in line with our messages on Sunday morning to this point, isn't it? And turn them from the power of Satan unto the power of God. They need to be turned. It's fraught with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? In his word, in his truth. What he says is the truth. listen, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified, set apart by faith that is in me. Jesus, the Apostle Paul, recounting this, wraps up the account by the key of that wherein salvation rests for the salvation of sinners, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus is the only way that our Lord is pleased. Faith in Jesus is the substance. In Luke chapter 15, we'll close. In Luke chapter 15, remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said? How often do you think they get up and rejoice in heaven? Well, we saw here recently where the Lord Jesus Christ, at the account of Brother Stephen being stoned, stood up to receive our brother as he was dying from being stoned. The death of the Lord's saints is precious in his eyes. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us this in chapter 15. Publicans and sinners have drawn near to him. The Pharisees and the scribes are murmuring. Everything's pretty normal, isn't it? He gives this parable to them about the sheep that's lost and all that, and how they'll go out and look for the one at the risk of the 90 and 9. And Jesus says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. It's quite a ratio, isn't it? 99 righteous people, self-righteous people, there's no joy in heaven. But you know, there's joy in heaven over the sinner that repents and admits before God that they're guilty. That they are guilty for their sins. Not we have sinned. You know, we've all sinned. No, I've sinned. And it's costing me my life. I've sinned. And I deserve to be separated and alienated from God forever. I have sinned. He goes on here and tells about the woman with 10 pieces of silver, loses one, lights a candle. And when she sweeps the house, she looks for it, she finds it. She calls everybody on the neighborhood. We would say now she sends an email and a text to everybody, right? So rejoice with me, for I've found the piece that I had lost. Likewise, verse number 10, the Lord says, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. You know what? The one I think that's rejoicing is the Lord. It's in the presence of the angels. The Lord, the saints. See, the angels really don't get it. They receive it, and they understand that it's so in the way the Lord works, but they don't know it by experience. Our Lord knows it by experience because he did it for us. And the saints in glory know it by experience in that the Lord has done it for them.
Amen.
And rejoicing in the Lord over repentance of sinners is the glory and the blessing. Listen, faith in Jesus is the substance.